If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So this is the second in the testimony series, and it's now February 2018, and I started praying in tongues for 5 hours a day over 8 years ago, and what I'd like to do is just distill everything down of the whole 8.5 years, or the 8 years that I've been praying in tongues and walking in ministry and seeing healings and miracles and people being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to basically maybe boil it all down so that you can just basically get the simplistic view of it all. But what we do is we've been filling ourselves up with the presence of God through the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues, and we've been walking in ministry for several years now, and we've been flying all over Australia and praying for people and groups of people, and we've been people ringing us up, and we're praying with them over the phone, and you know, put them on speaker, and the power of God works just as if we were there at the room, and so we've been doing that. We're doing deliverance ministry over Skype. That's interesting, but the same effect happens if we were there. We've had people there assisting us, and we've just been doing that. But basically, what I want to speak about is the people that we minister to. The anointing that the Lord has given us is an anointing of setting people free and on fire with the Holy Spirit and with revelation from God and understanding. So what we do is we lay our hands on a lot of them, and we pray over them, and the monkey gets off their back. The log jam that clogs up that river of life inside them gets washed away, and you know, they start flowing in the Holy Spirit. They start feeling the presence of the anointing. They start feeling the presence of God. They start hearing His voice. They start feeling free and not clogged up. They feel happiness and joy and peace instead of depression, and all of the weight that's on them gets taken away. So they are jumping around like jackrabbits for joy and happiness. And what I have noticed is that all of the church meetings they've sat through, all of the sermons they've heard over the years, the ones that had Rhema attached to them, the ones that were anointed, so when the pastor or the speaker spoke under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those sermons that were meant for them, they're held back by the Lord until they're ready to receive them. So they may be sitting in church for years and years in a dry, worn-out state, not being able to receive what is meant for them by the Lord, and until such a time as they're cleaned up and they're able to receive that. So when we pray for them, they get massive downloads of all of the stuff, all of the knowledge that God had for them in the previous years, over the 20, 30, 100 talks. They might have listened to 200 or 300 talks, but maybe only 70 of them were really from the Lord. The other ones were just devised of men's imaginations. Who knows? But people tend to get a download. They get back paid, and they receive understanding and knowledge and functionality, and even in some cases they seem to know more than the people they're sitting under. They seem to know more than the pastors that are preaching to them, and it's amazing. And they get that like over a period of days or weeks. They just go from a dry, shriveled up life, a lifeless, no flowing of the Holy Spirit, or only a trickle, to a major river flowing through them, and they have knowledge and understanding of functionality and things they've never knew before, but they were passed on by the talks, by the sermons that were given to them, that were allocated by the Lord for them at that specific time, but they couldn't receive them, but now they can. So we bring them into a place where they can receive from God. We bring them into a place where they're free from the enemy. We bring them into a place where they can walk in liberty. Now, a lot of them get excited and they jump around like jackrabbits and they want to run off and do their own ministry thing, and we have to stop them, slow them down, and tell them to know, calm down and sit down and finish the job inside of them. Go after all of the offenses, all of the buttons that get pushed when the enemy comes into their life, all of the hindrances and all the weights. We don't always get all the stuff off of them. Sometimes you get a big chunk, sometimes you get maybe only a half or so, depending on their heart and whether they're willing to receive. Sometimes they get cleaned up big time, sometimes they get cleaned up only a little bit, but there's a major change in their life. But what we ask them to do is sit down and pray in tongues and finish the job and continue, even when the job's finished, to keep going praying in tongues so that they maintain a level of spirituality that they can maintain a healthy distance between them and the enemy. So the enemy wants to put sickness on them, wants to put delusions, confusion, and pride, and frustrations, and all of these things. But if they keep praying in tongues, they seem to be one step ahead of the enemy all the time. And if he ever catches up to them, he barely touches them. And they walk in freedom. And if they maintain their walk through the Holy Spirit, through praying in tongues, building themselves up on their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping themselves in the love of God, they become further and further untouchable. It's an amazing thing. There's not everybody goes after the Lord at 100%. Some need to they get cleaned up, but they slow down a bit, and we have to encourage them to pray. And if the enemy catches up to them again, we have to pray for them, help them get out the ditch again, and get them back off out of the ditch and onto solid ground. So some people are bogged to the axles, and they're not moving at all, and we just pray for them, and they're moved out of the ditch and onto solid ground. It's just wonderful. They're happy. They're rejoicing. They're over the moon with joy. I mean, some of them, they're uncontainable with their joy, and we just have to help them transition from being bogged to the axles and ineffective in their walk, in their life, to being functional. And some of them, they need to have a lot of prayer to straighten their soulish ideas so that their soul becomes sanctified. It's all about sanctification through the Holy Spirit. And that sanctification is the changing of someone's thought patterns. We call them strongholds. They're systems of thoughts that slow people down. And they're imparted to them by the enemy through a thousand different venues, through TV, music, lifestyle, ways of living, philosophies. Everything that is not of the Lord is destructive in their life. So we just pray for them, and they just keep praying themselves, and they just get out of all of that mess, and it just starts to be dismantled through the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of fire. He just goes and burns up all of the enemy's stuff, and he systematically goes from room to room and just destroys all of the enemy's stuff and replaces it with Holy Ghost stuff. And that's basically it. And so all we do is we just get the monkey off their back. We get them out of the ditch and onto hard ground, solid ground, and then we get them moving forward, and then we teach them to maintain their vehicle and not to fall back in the ditch, and so that they have a successful life in the Lord. Now, the Lord has many different ministries for many different people. Not everybody's the same. So what we do is, if we get them sitting down and praying in tongues, you know, for a half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day. Some of them get it. They just get it. And they sit down and they pray for 2 or 3 hours a day. And a month later, after we spoke to them, they are so changed and so different. And they have to come to terms with, you know, they speak to me on the phone. They say, I don't understand, but, you know, everything's so easy now, and you know, my life's just starting to come together now. It's just wonderful. And they don't understand that God wants to restore a person's life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a ministry over you to bring you into all truths and to destroy all sin around you and to straighten your life up. And if you walk in the Spirit, then your life's going to be wonderful. Sure, the enemy will come and have a swipe at you, but it won't be as damaging as when you're got all your defenses down. You know, a person who lives in a house and leaves there all the doors open and the windows open, and they wonder why the rain comes flogging in, they wonder why all the bugs fly in, they wonder why people waltz into their house and just steal their stuff, because they haven't been taught how to maintain a security over their house. And you know, God's trying to build a building in you. He's trying to build you up as a house. And you may have, you know, a lot of rooms that are never been visited before. You may have a lot of rooms that are full of junk that are impeding or, you know, defecting your life. They're slowing down things. So the Holy Spirit comes in, takes those things away, burns them up, and replaces them with godly furniture. And that furniture is functionality, healing, deliverance, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, abilities, and they're all in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, as you move forward, God will start using you in different giftings that have been given to you. And one of the things that the Lord has shown us is he gave me an understanding about 6 years ago. He told me that he said, some people know how to read the time. He said, some people know how to wind the clock up when it's stopped, but not many people at all know how to fix it when it's broken. And that's what he called me aside for years and years. And as I sat at the feet of Jesus and prayed in tongues for hours and hours every day, I got massive downloads of how to fix people's lives, how to reassemble the parts and get them going again. How to repair people's lives, and you know, through the Spirit, through wisdom and understanding, being able to minister to them practical advice that's not just waffle and philosophy and 10-step programs and all of these other junky stuff that doesn't work. These are from the throne room of God, coupled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. They just do massive amounts of repair in people's lives. And that's what the Lord has given us. He's given us that ministry to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. And he told me that that the anointing he's given me will drill through and break rocks. And I just said, okay. I didn't really understand how that was going to work until I started praying in tongues for hours and hours and hours every day. And then they started happening. I started putting my hands on people and praying over them, and their whole life was restored. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's not about Donna and I. It's about Jesus. It's about God flowing through us. And it's not about how wonderful we are, because we say to everybody, it's about Jesus, and you can have what we have too, depending on the ministry that God is going to use you in. But he will use you in the Holy Ghost and power. You will walk in an anointed ministry. But first, the first ministry that you have to do is for yourself. You know, people can go out and heal people and pray for people and kick demons out of people and, you know, do all of that sort of stuff. And that's wonderful. But if their life isn't straightened up, they'll keep crashing and burning. So those people may be able to stand in the presence of God and minister, and that's legitimate. God's given them that ministry. But, you know, they go home and they're a misery. They're just a broken wreck. Until they they go back and start ministering again, then they're in the zone. And there are two types of ministries. There's the ministry that you minister to other people, right, through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, right? And there's another anointing, and that anointing is the ministry for yourself. And that is the most important ministry. That ministry is, that's the one that keeps you safe, because there's so many people who are men of God who are just a train wreck after many years because they've never dealt with the imperfections of their own personality. They've never dealt with the brokenness inside them. They've just maintained their head just above the water, and they're able to minister to people. When they step in the anointing, everything's wonderful. I mean, everything's flowing. All of the gifts, the giftings are just flowing, healing and words of knowledge and wisdom. And when they get on stage and start ministering, the anointing flows, and they teach people out of the anointing, but they don't have change for their own personal life. That doesn't happen to everybody, but I'm saying major people have broken lives in the background. And sometimes publicly we see them crash and burn. And it's really sad. Nobody has ever taught them to maintain their own life and successfully. They've probably said that, you know, you need to walk in holiness, but nobody's ever told them how. A successful way of walking dismantling all of the junky stuff in your life, effectively doing that, you need to get that from God. It's not going to come from, you know, 12 steps, a series of CDs, DVDs, all this stuff. they may help, but they're not going to really do the job. The real job is the transformation of your soul through the Holy Spirit. You can read the Bible up and down, all day and all long. That's wonderful. You'll get revelation, and you may be able to apply some of it, but the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to apply all them successfully. He gives you the ability to apply all of the wisdom and knowledge that comes out of the Bible. So it's all head knowledge. And when he gives you the wisdom to be able to apply that and the dunamis power to be able to apply that, then things start happening. Head knowledge is not going to get you anywhere. It has to be spiritual. It has to be applied through the Spirit. It's not to be applied intellectually. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, they are applied by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're not applied by, you know, some form of philosophy or, you know, one size fits all stuff. Everything is dynamic in our life, and the Holy Spirit is the only agency that we can use to successfully go forward in victory. And by doing that, we sit down, we pray in tongues, and we get download from God, and he shows us how to walk successfully. We pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit goes after all of the defected ideas, concepts, doctrines inside of us and burns them up and leaves only his presence, his knowledge of the Bible in you. You become a successful person in the Lord then. So a couple of major things that a Christian needs to continually do. One is read the Bible and meditate on the word. That means sit down and think about what you read. It's no good reading 15 chapters a day, every day, and that sounds really wonderful. Every day I sit down and I read 15 chapters of the Bible. But if you don't meditate on what you've read, it gets lost. In some way, it just gets lost. You need to meditate on the word. And the way I do that is when I pray in tongues, I put my headphones on and I listen to the Bible. I might listen to Hebrews 5, 6, 7 times over and over and over again. I might listen to Ephesians 7 or 8 times. Ephesians goes for about 15 or so minutes, and I just go over that maybe 7 or 8 times, and then I might go to Philippians, and then You know, if you're praying for 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours a day, you just do that over and over again every day. You know, listen to all of the Gospel of Matthew and all of the Gospel of Luke, and you do that day in and day out, day in and day out. Then you can meditate on the Word, because it becomes inside you. You have to read the Word as well, but it just gets embedded inside you. And, you know, that's one of the key things, is meditating on the Word. Another important thing is praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, God releases mysteries. He releases things that were meant for you. He releases rhema that comes and ministers to you. He prays through you. The Holy Spirit prays through you. Forwardly. So if there's something happening up the road a week from now, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you for that situation, and it may never occur because you've put it to God in prayer through the Holy Spirit, not even knowing what you're saying. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will download what He's teaching you, and you'll get an interpretation of the tongue that you're praying in, or you'll get a revelation, you'll get an understanding. And so praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will go after all of the rat bag ideas inside of you, and He'll replace them with wisdom and knowledge and functionality according to the Word of God. So you'll never get anything downloaded to you that is contrary to the Bible. If it is, then you know that's not of the Lord. The Lord always shows me, when He gives me ideas and thoughts about the kingdom of God, He always shows me in the Bible. I go to the Bible and I look for that, and He leads me to the answer really quickly and brings all of the scriptures together and confirms the Word that He downloaded into me. I'm a Word person. Another important aspect, there's meditation, praying in tongues, is true worship. Worship and soaking in the true presence of God. True worship is effective, and it will transform your whole being. True worship will just energize and empower everything about you. It will bring the glory into your life. It'll bring the presence of God into your life. And where the presence of God is, there's relationship. And I wake up in the morning in the presence of God, and I go to bed in the presence of God. All day I have the presence of God over me. I can feel it all the time. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes covered in the glory of God. Sometimes just I'm on fire. I wake up and I'm on fire, burning on fire. And it's really interesting, because I can lay there and just observe it and look at it for hours. I might lay there for an hour, 2 hours, just laying in that fire, looking at it, trying to figure out, how does this work? And the Lord will speak to me within that place, and He will give me understanding of how it works, so that I can impart that and explain it to other people. And the thing that the Bible says, that when we speak spiritual things to spiritual people, we compare things and we confirm them in our spirit that what we're saying is the truth and it's not a lie. And so when I speak to people who are spiritually minded, they get it real quick. They understand. People who are not spiritually minded, it's a mystery to them. I'm talking about spirit-filled, baptized in water, speaking in tongues people. Sometimes we speak to them and it's a mystery what we're trying to tell them. They can't get it, because they haven't moved into a place where they're functioning in a spiritual perception, where their mind is even functioning on the things of God, because they're captivated by the world. Their eyes are on the world, and they only give a couple of hours a week at church to God, through maybe the music, maybe through just whatever. But straight after the church meeting, they're into it again about what they've done that week and all of that other stuff. You know, but with me, when I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed, my thoughts are they're just captured by the things of God. God is always in my thoughts, always in my thoughts. Everything I do, it's like It's like being in the same room with a person forever and ever. You just never get away from him. He is always in the peripheral parts of your thoughts or right in front of you. And that's wonderful. I love that so much. And in that place of continual fellowship, God speaks to me about things, about me, and about what I'm supposed to do in other people's lives, and how I'm supposed to minister to them. And that's a wonderful thing. That came from worship. That came from resting or dwelling in the presence of God for hours and hours every day. I mean, I'm talking about really dwelling in the presence of God, and you know, just my functional life, He's there all the time. So those three things or four things that I think are very important is reading the Word and meditating on it, praying in tongues, and worshiping in spirit and in truth. Okay, so I'll just give you a little quick way that people worship. Most people worship out of their soul. So they have a vocabulary, they have words and scriptures they can quote, they have little sayings that they speak. Jesus, we just love you, and we'd want to dwell in your holiness, and all of these nice, wonderful sounding words, but they're coming from their soul. But what they need to do is transition into a place where the information is coming from the Spirit, so that when they start speaking, it's being fed from an inspirational point from the Spirit. So they step into the Spirit and they start speaking from a spiritual perspective that comes from God. So they're speaking inspirational words that are coming from God to God, and they receive from God. Okay, it's just an amazing place. And you know, Jesus spoke to the lady at the well. He said, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is a spirit, and he seeks such to worship him. So if true worshippers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, how do they do that? Well, when you speak in tongues, I teach people to worship. I say, okay, we're just going to stand around, no music, nothing, just lift their hands and start praying in tongues. And just relax. And when you start getting ideas, inspirational ideas about God, speak them in English to Him. You might receive inspiration of worship, of thanksgiving, of how wonderful He is, whatever. And then you start speaking those things. Maybe scriptures will come to you, and you'll start quoting those scriptures, right? And then when that sort of dissipates, you go back to praying in tongues. And then you pray in tongues for a couple of minutes, and then you start speaking English again because you're getting another download, and you're speaking unto God. And what are you doing? You're praying in tongues. You're speaking in tongues, which is the spirit of truth. And your worshiping is not coming from a place of your soul, it's coming from the Spirit. So what are you doing? You're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And as you move further into speaking tongues and speaking in English, you seem to go on a spiral thing going up and up and up and up. It's interesting to note that the ladder that the angels came up and down when Jacob had the dream or the vision, it wasn't a straight ladder, it was a circular ladder. It was a spiral ladder that goes up and up and up. And so when I worship, I feel like that spiral thing is happening. I'm going up and up and up, higher and higher, and the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger. And then, you know, a lot of the time when we go to minister, we just say, okay, we're just going to worship for a second, and we're just going to get into that place. So we lift our hands, we start worshiping, and within a couple of minutes, we're ready. And then the presence of God is all over me, my hands are burning, and I'm ready to go. Okay, and I try not to minister outside of that. Now, if I'm on the street and, you know, people, you know, I meet someone, I have to pray for them instantly, I don't have time to just start worshipping. Angels turn up and assist me. Now, that's another amazing thing. We don't worship angels, but they assist us. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, are they not, these are concerning angels, are they not all ministers? Now, sorry, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who are heirs of salvation? So they assist us in ministry. Okay? So you can find in Acts a lot of references to angels helping the saints, and then the Holy Spirit helping the saints. So look, we'll leave it there, and we'll continue on in this series. So if you'd like to help us out financially, then you go to the bottom of the page and click on support, and all the information will be there.